In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. A few weeks ago, I was at a retreat with a few of my fellow canons to the ordinary. Weird title, I know. We were reflecting on the unique range of work that we do. Transitions, vocations, conflict, congregational development, clergy discipline. Yep, all the fun stuff. It's a source of continual amazement, the various ways that the church, that beloved institution made up of all of us fallible human beings, can get wrapped around the axle. There's a parish that gets angry when the priest does precisely what they said they wanted him to do when he was called. Never heard of that, have you? There's the priest who thinks it's okay to go on 2 weeks of continuing ed out of the country without telling anyone she was going. There's the bookkeeper, who's also a parishioner, who's also the check writer, who's also the counter of the donations from the plate every Sunday, who also writes herself an extra payroll check the day before she's fired. True story. Those are the more benign variations on the theme. And there are darker ones that cannot be shared. The crazy secular world confounds us on a regular basis, but this same Hazarai, great Yiddish word, this Hazarai happens in church world too. It happens so often in ways both big and small that the mantra of those of us who do this kind of work is, you can't make this stuff up. We'd be surprised by that, but for the fact that we're continually reminded in stories from Holy Scripture that are just as unbelievable as the stories of what happened in some of our congregations. So Elijah. Our Old Testament reading starts out with a prophet on the run. You know, we always see pictures of Elijah as this big old dude with the long beard, sort of crazy hair and the robes. It's hard to imagine him running, but he's actually on the run. He's aggravated Jezebel, the king's wife, by killing off all of her false prophets of Baal. So she issues a decree of death, and Elijah heads out into the wilderness as fast as he can. He is running for his life. And just like a guy we saw walking along Monument as we drove in today, who was a well-developed man, shall we say, and he had his earphones in, and he was walking, and he was sweating. I think Elijah looked rather like that without the iPod. He stops to catch his breath under the shade of a broom tree. It's a tree that doesn't provide a whole bunch of shade, by the way. It's actually a little bit more than a tumbleweed bush in the desert. And he has himself a little pity party. I'm tired, and I'm being attacked just as my ancestor prophets were attacked. So just go ahead and kill me now, God. Whine, whine, whine. And he falls asleep. And while he's asleep, God sends some food and drink for him so that when he wakes up, he can be fed and refreshed because he's still got work to do. He may have had his little meltdown. We all have those moments. But now it's time to get up and do the work without whining. So he eats the food, drinks the beverage, and there is so much God mojo in that little meal that he goes for 40 days and nights, all the way to Mount Horeb for the next stage of the story. You can't make this stuff up. The story of God moving among God's people. Just like in real life, there's always more to the story. God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Just like in the first part, remember, it's been 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah's tired. And he has another little pity party. "I've done all this good stuff for you, God, but they're after me and they're going to kill me." And God, being God, ignores the whining piece and says a really strange thing. "Get up and go out of this little cave that you're hiding out in and stand outside and wait for me to pass by." And then it's like a mashup of the worst of the Weather Channel out there. Earthquake, wind, fire, and then silence. And in the silence, Elijah hears God's whispering voice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now, I can imagine all sorts of replies, starting with, "Holy cow, I just nearly got blown off this mountain, swallowed up by an earthquake, and fried like an Idaho potato slice. I'm wondering what I'm doing here too, God. Why did you tell me to come out here?" But true to form, and rather like most of us, when we're in the middle of one of those "you can't make this stuff up" moments, Elijah goes back to his tried and true response, which is whining. "I've done all this good stuff for you, Lord, and they're after me and they want to kill me." Now, here's the really odd thing. God doesn't say, "Oh, you poor prophet, thanks for all the hard stuff you've been doing. I know it's been hard. Come on over here, I'll give you a hug." No, God says, "Yeah, don't run south, run north. Go up to Damascus. You can't make this stuff up. When you say something and another person takes it the wrong way and posts what a horrific person you are on Facebook, that never happens. You can't make this stuff up when you try to do the right thing by donating to a good organization and it turns out that they're actually scammers. You can't make this stuff up when you welcome someone into your community and they turn around and use you as a whipping boy or a whipping girl for their own messed up childhood. Happens even in church sometimes. You can't make this stuff up when grown-ups act like children or when children have to act like grown-ups because of the circumstances of their lives. What's a Christian to do? Isn't God supposed to be there in the midst of these things that are so absurdly awful that we mutter, "You can't make this stuff up"? Isn't God supposed to ride in to rescue us? Or is the rescue happening, just not in the ways that we would prefer? God is there with sustaining food for Elijah. God is there in the conversation and in the storm, listening to Elijah. God is there in the maelstrom and after the wild weather. In the midst of that stuff that you can't make up, God cares for Elijah. But God does not exempt Elijah from the hard work he is called to do as a prophet of God. And on some level, certainly, Elijah begins to understand that as well, because after this passage, Elijah goes to Damascus. He anoints new leaders for the Israelites. He also names his own successor. and departs in a fiery chariot, but that's a story for another day. You can't make that one up either. But Elijah does the work God has asked him to do, and he is sustained in it by God. Every day in our lives, we face things that are so outlandish that we may be tempted to share that mantra, "You just can't make this stuff up," shaking our heads. But perhaps the better, more sustaining phrase might be earthquake, fire, or storm, God is still with me. God is always with me. Even though we just can't make this stuff up, even as we are faced with something we feel unprepared for, nothing is a surprise to God. And God's care for us, just as he cared for Elijah through all that whining, God's care for us is sure and steady and eternal. God's voice is there for us if we will listen for it. That voice that speaks through silence quietly says, "What are you doing here? I've got you. I've got this. Do the work. I'm with you. I'm always with you." Amen.